Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Thursday episode of the Biz News Briefing, the last one for the week. We don't come to you on Fridays, and of course on Mondays you have the pleasure of the company of Bronwyn Nielsen right here at 6 o'clock, live streamed and recorded anytime that suits you. Chris Logan, one of the top asset managers in South Africa, went along to the Remgro AGM today to see how Johan Rupert holds court, as he always does at these occasions. He wasn't disappointed. There were 200 people there. Chris gives us the feedback on what the most important story was. And then at 8 o'clock tonight, we've got our Thursday show, our premiere, and this is with Rob Hirsov. The Thursday show on Biz News with Rob Hirsov, which follows the Sunday show on Biz News with Neil De Beer and Chris Stain. It's a fascinating insight from a guy who's incredibly well-connected, very smart, and has got an opinion well-founded on most issues to do with capitalism. He calls himself a capitalist activist, and we've got a clip from that in the program tonight. Also tonight is the Boxer IPO, the biggest new listing on South Africa's stock market since 2017. But Boxer was good news. It was very good news indeed. But unfortunately, that was about the only good news and a little bump up for financials, which were about a fifth of a percent higher. It was a soggy day on the JSE, pulled down by resources. Gold shares in particular were under pressure. They were down by 1.75%, the resource index. Industrials a third of a percent lower, and the top 40 index about half a percent weaker. Bitcoin continues its run, $95,287 a Bitcoin, up 0.5% on where we were this time last night. The Rand a bit stronger against the US dollar, 5 cents stronger at 18.12, and against the pound, we're at 22.97. It's up about a cent. Market moving news today, ArcelorMittal 2.5% higher. That's after it announced an agreement with NUMSA to stop the strike at ArcelorMittal's operations. Nampak rebounded. It was down 12.5% yesterday on a trading update. It issued some additional information on the trading update, and the market liked it, up 8.5%. And then Boxer, which many retail investors piled into at 54 Rand, or did the best they could, because the issues were between 1/6 and 1/5 of what they applied for. The share price listed at an 18% premium today. We'll have more on that later. HCI interim results to the end of September. That share price down another 3.5%. You might recall it didn't do well on the trading update recently. And then SPAR, it's coming out of its slump, but maybe too optimistic from the markets generally. The share price down by 0.33%. As far as the new highs for today, Karoo up 5% to 800 Rand. Tiger Brands 2% to 256.75. Tiger's on a bit of a rip at the moment. And then Pepkor, yet another improvement after the financial results that today was up 1.75%. Well, let's go into our top story of the night. And Chris Logan attended the Remgro AGM. Those of you who don't know Chris Logan, he is the founder of Opportune. He was a top money manager in South Africa in unit trust for many years, then went to become an activist investor, has done some extraordinary things, not least you will remember what happened at Tongaat, where Logan was actually banging the drum long before the real problems hit there, and he was asking questions, the difficult questions. Well, he went off to the Remgro AGM today and gives us a report back on the focus, which in his opinion, he says, was on how Remgro is going to change its remuneration structures, change the incentives of its executives to try and pull it out of a slump. Remgro used to be the gold medal for investing in South Africa. The share price has underperformed for the last 15 years, and it now trades at a discount of 45% to the underlying assets. Let's pick up with Chris.
Well, two major reasons. First of all, it was at a magnificent Stellenbosch wine estate, which was always great to discover. And secondly, in the past, Mr. Rupert, the chair, Johan, has put forward some strong views on ownership and the link between ownership and performance. And he's basically said, you know, if you want your companies to perform, make sure the directors have a lot of shares. And I think that is spot on. If we look, I'm not aware of any empirical studies, but if we just look at some of the great performers here, let's say a Capitec, as they disclose in their annual report, the CEO there owns 103 times and shares his basic salary, his total guaranteed pay. So as a multiple of his total guaranteed pay, his shareholding value is 103 times that. So he acts and thinks like an owner. And, you know, there was another great research analyst at the meeting, one of Shane Watkins's analysts, and he also backed that up. He says, look, locally, it's nearly always, if you've got high share ownership, or you see high share ownership in great performers. So Ringgrow just recently have bought in what you call a minimum shareholding requirement, something which is widely used in the States and even the UK. And it expresses what the CEO has to have as a function of his total guaranteed pay. And the CEO of Remgrow has to have a multiple of 3.75 times, which is quite high for South African standards. It is high, but judged against American standards, it's very low. For instance, Jamie Dimon at JP Morgan Chase has to hold 50 times his basic salary in shares.
I understand where you're going with this. So internationally, it says if you want your executives to think like owners, they better be owners. They've got to own the shares, and we'll force them to do that. Whereas Johan Rupert, as you know, just introduced this recently in Remgrow. And the question here is, Remgrow has been a really bad performer, Chris. After being the gold medal of all investments in South Africa, in the last 15 years, it's poorly performed against any kind of index that you look, even worse than the overall market.
Yes, correct. And, you know, the Remgrow shows their own figures to that effect against a number of benchmarks. Johan did speak to it somewhat. He said Remgrow has now got some big capital-intensive regulated industries, notably Mediclinic and then their whole fiber business. So Mediclinic is now by far the biggest investment, and their fiber investments through CRVH are big and are having, you know, they've been tied up at the Competition Commission for 3 years for some important approval, and eventually they've just got rebuffed. But what you've basically had at Remgrow, your biggest holdings used to be the old RMB group, you know, GT, all of GT and Laurie and Paul's creation. So First Rand, you know, Outsurance, RMB Holdings. And inadvertently, Remgrow has pivoted out of these owner-managed high-return businesses, like all of those companies were, into these capital-intensive regulated investments, Mediclinic and CRVH. So, yeah, you've had a... that's the explanation I would put on the poor performance. And, yeah.
When you look at it over 15 years, it's quite scary that a philosophical difference, in other words, invest in owner-managed businesses rather than professional manager-managed businesses, can make such a big difference. What else did Johan Rupert have to say at the AGM, Chris?
Well, you know, we talked quite extensively on this whole ownership concept. And, you know, he said it was very good questions, which I was raising. But he also drew attention to the fact that in South Africa, you know, South Africa isn't the United States. And which I think is a good point. But, you know, in other words, you know, South Africa, now you have to show the gap between what the CEO earns and the lowest paid, or the ratio. And all of that's true. But of course, there is a wonderful gem in Remgro called Wesbeco. It's an aluminium extrusion. It's a tough industry. And it's done incredibly well. And they attribute their success there to the fact that the whole staff is cut into a profit share agreement. They get something like 20% of pre-tax profits, and is paid out every 2 weeks. And Wesbeco, it's in the same industry basically as Hulamin. You probably know Hulamin. It's been a disaster of note. Extongot. And, you know, despite the IDC backing Hulamin and owning 30%, it's just gone south. Wesbeco's eaten their lunch and has done incredibly well. And Wesbeco themselves attributed to this incentive structure, which everyone shares in. So, you know, once again, the importance of incentives, alignment, and not just for the CEO, but for everyone down to the shop floor. So, yeah, we talked about that. Interestingly enough, you know, Rupert also made the point, you know, that only came about because Wesbeco was flat on its back. So they could get this 20% carry for nothing, for this workers' profit share. So, yeah.
Isn't that a great story? And you hear that all the time, issues that happen at some companies without, or some parts of big corporates, when they get implemented throughout, the response can be spectacular. So Remgro is learning from its from this experience at Wesbeco, which only was allowed in the first place, cutting in the workers as participants in profits, because they were flat on their backs. I love that. Anyway, there's more of that from Chris Logan. We did the full interview, which will be on BizNews TV at around 7 o'clock this evening. You can go along and watch that. At 8 p.m. today, our premiere is the weekly in-depth discussion with Rob Herseth, what we're calling the Thursday show. I've taken a clip for you tonight out of Argentina and the lessons that South Africa can learn from the experiment that the Argentinians have had. Now, they were, like Wesbeco, flat on their backs. They really were up a creek without a paddle. And so they voted in a radical option as president, Javier Milei. He became the president of the country on the ticket of, I'm going to change everything. I'm going to take a chainsaw to government, cut back on the size of government. And of course, our capitalist activist, Rob Herseth, has been following the experiment very, very closely. And in our conversation today, he was delighted to inform us that 1 year on, Mr. Milei is getting a heck of a lot right.
In the 1920s, Argentina was one of the five richest countries in the world. And there was a comment like, you're as rich as an Argentine. I mean, it supplied the world with beef. There was a Harrods in Buenos Aires. You remember, you know that in the 30s and the 20s.
I was aware that it was once a very rich country.
Very rich country. And then the socialists got in and they destroyed the economy over a period of 50, 60, 70 years, as socialists do. They just destroy economies. And Javier Milei came in a year ago. And he came in as a libertarian. He had to patch together a coalition.
What does it mean, Rob? What does a libertarian mean?
All government. Libertarian believes if you take a libertarian all the way down to the, you know, absolute perfect description. It is someone that believes in the sovereign individual, that the ultimate decision maker is the individual, that you will always make a better decision for you and the people around you and ultimately your country than some elected official sitting in government. And libertarians believe in very, very small government. Javier Milei went from 17 cabinet ministers. We have 32. He has went from 17 cabinet ministers down to 8 and then added one new one. That's the job I want. It's the Minister of Deregulation. And the Minister of Deregulation in Argentina, I wrote this down, I absolutely love this, eliminates 1 to 5 regulations every day with 3,200 structural reforms pending. Now, when Trump was running for his first term, he said, I'm not going to allow one new law or regulation to be put in place unless we get rid of 2 others. And I absolutely love that about him. That's a true libertarian. You know, South Africa's overregulated, New Zealand's overregulated, Europe's overregulated, America's overregulated. And why? Because we have too many lawyers, regulators, administrators, and bureaucrats in government, and not enough hard-nosed business people. And look at what this extraordinary man, Javier Milei, has done in 1 year. Okay? Inflation was at 7,500%. 7,500%. And you're thinking, Weimar Republic, people pushing wheelbarrows filled with money to buy a loaf of bread. That's where it was heading.
Zimbabwe. Think Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe. It's all these clown countries. He brought, within a year, it down to 2.8% a month. So it's at 28% and it's going lower. In 1 year, he's had a fiscal surplus for the first time in 10 years. He's removed middlemen and social welfare. He's reduced corruption. He's an extraordinary, extraordinary in 1 year. And his popularity's gone through the roof. It can be done. It can be done in just about any country you want.
Trump is trying to do the same thing in America. And if you were serious about it, Rob Herzog would like to do in South Africa. Just explain how it would happen in practice.
In practice in South Africa? I'd line up all the ministries and I'd get rid of half of them overnight. Why do we need a ministry of women? We don't. You know, why do we need a ministry of sports, arts, and culture? We don't. A lot of these ministries are completely irrelevant. And you can push the decisions down to, you know, provinces, states, or private enterprise. Why do we need state-owned enterprises? We should sell them off, all of them. The ANC has bankrupted South African Airways anyway, and we have fantastic Fly South Air and fantastic Air Link and Sam Air serving us. We don't need the government to own South African Airways. They shouldn't have owned it. And Eskom, well, it's getting to a point quite soon where private enterprise or public-private partnerships will replace Eskom in all elements, production, distribution, transmission. In every area where we have state-owned enterprises, the private sector can do a better job and is already in some ways supplanting our SOEs. So I chopped the ministries to half in the first day, and by the end of the first year, I'd have it halved again. We'd have maybe 12 ministries in total. We would lay off 100,000 useless public workers. And you'd have to take a chainsaw to South Africa, but you could deliver the same results. We'd have a surge in foreign direct investment. We'd have a surge in the trillion rand of corporates are sitting on in cash being deployed into investment. And we'd have a surge of employment, a surge within 12 months. You know, Enoch could do this. Enoch Godogwana could do this. He knows what's going on in Argentina. And I know he respects what's going on. I've been communicating with him. He could do it, but Cyril is not that man. You know, Cyril is too weak and he's served his time and he's got to move on anyway in 2027. He doesn't have the spine to do something like this. You need a new, tough, you need a Javier Milei. And that isn't me, but I'm happy to work with whomever that is. Maybe Elon should come back here and do that job. But what is Javier Milei, what does he really believe in? It's freedom. Freedom, freedom, freedom. It's economic freedom. It's cultural freedom. It's the freedom of all aspects. And that is what libertarians believe in. Personal freedom, being able to decide what to do, where to do it, and how to do it with respect for others.
Oh, I just love it. It's freedom. One of our five values at BizNews, freedom. Well, let's get on to the market action of the day, the biggest new listing in South Africa since 2017. We've been taken along this road by Evan Walker of 361. He's been telling us that Boxer, which is spun out of Pick and Pay, is a gem. I caught up with him today to see what he felt about the first day of trading. So, Evan, tell us about the Boxer listing that happened today. You've been very bullish on the stock since you've carried us through the whole story. Today was the big day. How did it do?
Fantastically, Alex. I mean, the stock came onto the market at 54. We had the sporting trading 64 now. It's approximately 18% appreciation on the day. It's obviously a big number. We were expecting anything north of 60, but this is a great price for Boxer. I think it can go even a little higher from here. Although it does start to get into the realms of the sort of ShopRite valuations on a forward basis, but it's a great business, a good profile looking forward. So yeah, we expect still a few things to come from it.
So you'd be holding on here, but if you don't have the stocks, I remember you telling us it was one of those forever shares, perhaps. Can you buy at these kind of levels?
I think you can buy at these levels. I think you just got to, you got to look forward on this one. It's hard to pick on a day when a share's up 18 and pick the bottom. Naturally, we might get a couple of days of weakness. I don't think we'll get a lot because this is a stock trading close to 30 billion, which a lot of managers want to own. I don't think we're necessarily going to see a significant pullback unless we get, you know, major rand appreciation going forward. And as I said before, that's all geopolitical on Trump emerging markets, etc. So anything can happen in markets. But you know, if you want to have a stab, yeah, I think on a 3-year basis, we're going to make money.
And if you just look back, when a stock is that many times oversubscribed, in other words, there were shares available and there were many more demands for the shares that were available than were allocated, some people getting 1/6 of what they put in for. Is 18% improvement on that justifiable, given that there was so much demand before? You might have thought it could have been even higher.
Now, Alex, listen, you know, all the institutions put in more than they know they're going to get just to try get their offer values up. I mean, obviously, everyone's trying to get a little bit of a piece of the action. It wasn't, you know, obviously, the amount that came to the market, although it's a 29 billion market cap, you know, Pick and Pay still owns 66% of that business. So, you know, the differential that came to asset managers wasn't a big number in the South African AUM under management, a small number. So everyone tries to get a little bit more of the good stuff, and unfortunately that doesn't happen. But it's always hard to tell on a day like this. There's a bit of exuberance built in. Now, I don't think so. I think if you prepare to hold a share for a couple of years, you could still buy at this price. As I said, you could well get it slightly lower, but I think there'll be appetite given what we know about Boxer, how confident the management is in their growth prospects for the next couple of years, and you know, hopefully, you know, a better looking GDP forecast for South Africa for 2025.
Evan Walker from 361. And Evan was in Johannesburg at that listing. So too was Pat Goss, one of the original owners of the company. And the very first CEO was there too, Marek, the chief executive of Boxer, who's been there since there were five of them, together with Sean Summers featuring in those pictures. And I heard today that Marek's brother is rated as one of the top CEOs in England. So he runs a insurance company called Hiscock. Anyway, interesting story and an outperforming family. Lots of happy shareholders. Spa Group, not so happy. That's been a company that's been through the ringer over the past few years. It's done well recently. And in fact, as you saw earlier in the program, well, not in the program today, but earlier in the week, it has been hitting new 12-month highs. Results were out today. It's been struggling to regain its mojo, but a double-digit increase in headline earnings per share for the financial year to the end of September suggests it's on the right path. The CEO spoke to our partners at Bloomberg.
The second half of the year, certainly tough. lots of gains made at an operating profit level. And you'll see that our operating profit up significantly from where it was in H1. But sales a bit tougher than we had expected or than we'd have liked. Our sales performance a bit softer, particularly in our European countries, where inflation has come down rapidly. And a really struggling European consumer impacted those sales in those areas. Switzerland and Ireland, and in particular the southwest of England, where we have a small business. And in South Africa, inflation coming down rapidly, particularly food inflation, and that certainly has impacted our sales trajectory.
Yeah, so apologies. This was for the half year, of course. Let me just ask you about the outlook for the consumer from here. You listed a number of headwinds that have sort of been factored into this half. How do you see the outlook going into next year?
We think the outlook's fairly positive, particularly in SA, where the new government has come in and the GNU has settled quite a bit of positivity around within SA and SA Inc. really looking positive. Inflation now under control, and the consumer, we expect to be in a much better position. Interest rates coming down also certainly is positive for us. The two-pot system and changes to legislation around retirement funding has boosted up our building materials business. And overall, I think 2025 is going to be a positive year for SA.
So happy days for SPAR, perhaps improving after that awful performance a couple of years ago. Well, at 8 o'clock tonight, we've got the premiere of the Thursday show with Rob Hersoff. Don't forget that on Sunday, you can get the Sunday show at the same time with Neil De Beer and Chris Stain. My colleague Chris Stain and Neil have got a huge following. Rob Hersoff, being the competitive fellow that he is, says that he is going to try and get close to Neil's viewership, which I can tell you is quite extraordinary. And then Rob himself has been very well followed. It's an intriguing and a fascinating hour with Rob this week. We go into quite a lot of philosophy. He unpacks his values, his views on life, what drives him. You might be surprised to know that he's a Stoic, and well, there's a whole lot more there. I don't want to put forward any spoilers in that one, but I can tell you that it's well worth watching at 8 o'clock on the Biz News channel on YouTube. What did I learn from today? Well, next time there's a new listing, I'll be pretty sure to put in my application, because if you'd done so, Evan Walker explained, you didn't even have to put your money down. You've already made a profit of 18% on the price that the box has come to the market at. So, I mean, nothing in life is cheap and easy and free, or certainly nothing's free. But in this case, well, there was a bit of a free ride. Okay, best new listing and first new listing since 2017, so I suppose it doesn't come around that often, but still, I'll be keeping an eye out much more closely for new listings on the JSE in future, and please, let's see them coming. It's been, as always, an interesting program and an interesting week with you. Remember, we're not on air on Fridays. But Bronwyn will be with you on Monday, live streaming at 6 o'clock from me, Alec Hogg, our technical producer, Ruan Erasmus, executive producer, Lucy Ferreira, and the team at BizNews. Thank you for being with us. Have a great weekend. Look forward to being in your company again next week. Cheerio. This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking.